Collaboration is a key part of the creative process. I can't really think of much in our day and age where you as an artist or a creator are doing it all on your own. Even writing a book can be a pretty lonely process. Sometimes it's pretty solo, like it's on your shoulders, on your back to deliver something, and you really have to show up and do that work. But there are always readers, there are always people that are giving you kind of insight. Sometimes it's encouragement. And then even once you have it done, then there's editors involved, there's book cover artists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't work in a vacuum. And in this week's episode, we are taking moments from past interviews talking about collaboration. And this is a fun one for me because except for prop hip hop propaganda, the other three artists that I speak to here are all people who I have collaborated with in some way. Adrian Lee, the composer, Aaron Fjellman, filmmaker, and Brian Crew, also a filmmaker. And then Propaganda, we also really sort of talked about, you know, that experience of how do you actually create a fertile space for your collaborators to have agency and ownership, even when you are the driving force. One thing we didn't talk quite about so much and we won't get into is how we show up as collaborators on somebody else's dream. But I think you'll find that these things actually really have overlap. So with that, let's jump into some of these little wonderful pieces of insight from Prop Hip Hop, Propaganda, Aaron Fjellman, Adrian Lee, and Brian Crew. I guess Mozart wrote by himself, right? But we don't live in an era where creatives are basically the masters of their own universe, right? Like we all collaborate.
Well, Mozart, yes. I'm glad you mentioned Mozart because he was great up until the point where there were too many notes, of course. So, you know, when you had your benefactors and the people who were the commissioners, who very often were royalty in the church, they had a certain vision. And they may well try and give some input. But you're right. I mean, what really happens is, and it always has to be sort of an incept point where the person you've never worked with before is taking a punt, is taking a chance. They don't really know. They know enough about you to hope that the output is going to be in the ballpark. And once that relationship is established, you pretty much are working with a kind of with empathy. You know what's expected and of you as a writer. You hope that that is in sync with your own sort of musical values, and the director, or the writer, or the producer, or you know anyone who has input into whether that thing stays or goes, that particular piece of music. You hope those people have involved you in the project because they know enough about you to trust you. And that's why relationships last through, you know, when people are fortunate enough to have that kind of relationship with the director, they'll do 4 or 5 movies because there's trust there.
I interviewed Propaganda. One of the things he talked about in collaboration is that I only want to collaborate with people who I already trust.
Unless it's a mentoring situation, but if we're like, we're putting on something, putting together something, I expect that you've done your 10,000 hours. Yeah. Because that's why you're in the room. You know what I'm saying? And if I feel like I can accomplish this without you, then why are you here? You know, right. So for me, it's like, I want you to shine. I want you to flourish. I want you to do what is inspiring for you. And I'm going to do the same, you know? So even in the creative process of this, I picked for the illustrations and the cover, I did a little blurb about what each chapter is about, and I sent her 7 poetry pieces and was like, have at it, you know. And that is because how I pick collaborators is much more long and methodical, so that when it's time to work, it's like I don't even think twice. You know the direction,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what you're doing, you know. And I'm going to deliver. Now, if there's a direction change, then I'm going to clue you in so that you're not like going down this trail that, you know what I'm saying, it's not going to do nothing. So, and for me, it's like I'm open to what you present. So if we're working on something, you flash something back to me, now I'm inspired by what you made, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So let's get back in, and it just makes for a better final product, man. You know, and I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy the process. Nobody likes somebody looking over your shoulder all the time, you know.
Yeah, my last documentary, which I know you've got a couple of daughters. You might, if you got Amazon Prime, sit down with them and watch Hardball: The Girls of Summer. About
let's go. Okay,
a few women in America who play baseball, not softball. They're actually baseball players. It's a
baseball player.
Yeah, I'll shoot you a link afterwards. But you know, in the process, that was it's a documentary film. It took a lot of time and collaboration and finding a story that didn't exist yet, because it wasn't, the world was happening as was happening. And there were a few times where I remember, like, you know, my editor and I would be sitting in a room and we would really get into an argument. She was adamant it had to be one way. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as the director and as the writer, I had to call the shots, but I never wanted to shut that down. I always loved the butting of heads, let's go ahead and let's go at it. And the way I look at it is, if we really get into it with mutual respect, then at the end of the day, I actually want to be wrong. You know, if I was right, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. I totally get it, because it's like, if it's all my ideas, then why are y'all here? I could have just hired a little intern to just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We don't have the experience to just like do the brunt work. No, but you're a creative. You're an artist. You be an artist. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And when somebody else proves you, like, is like convinces you, that means what I always say, when I lose an argument, I actually won. Because that means I have something I didn't have before. Tapping Creativity is brought to you in part by We Strive, a nonprofit organization that works to lead the world towards stronger, healthier, and more sustainable community. We Strive is currently at an exciting juncture in that, coming out of the pandemic, it is in a place of looking to see how can it now, as a established organization, be of greatest support to the creative communities, as well as communities who are striving in any way they know how to engage in co-creating a better world. If you're interested in learning more, visit westrive.org.
First film I directed, it was called Motel Room, right after film school. And I remember being on the set, and there was something in it was this domestic abuse scene between a father and a daughter, and boyfriend was there. And both the actor, the daughter, Rebecca Rosnack, and Eric Larkin was playing the dad, both kind of said, I'm not feeling the scene the way you wrote it. What can we do? And I was like, I'm going to go in a corner by myself and try to fix the writing. And the cinematographer was also a USC grad, and I was kind of irritated with him at the moment. He was like, let's just improv something, which is the correct response. I got, my feathers got ruffled, because like, he kind of stepped on me as a director. But as soon as I put the ego aside, we did the improv and the scene got better, and kind of learned an important lesson there. And again, you know, it is that thing of, okay, somebody telling you what you wrote or what you created doesn't work isn't a challenge. It's an opportunity, and treat it as such. And as soon as I kind of adopted that, it was easy to be more accepting of everybody in my creative sphere, because they're there to help. They want to do better. Nobody wants to do bad work. So as soon as you realize that they're trying to help you, not challenge you, then it's a lot easier to be kinder, more encompassing, all encompassing of everything that's going on.
When you're building your dream on the backs of other people's favors and goodwill, be fluid. You really need to take advantage of what you have. You need to be grateful for what you have at the moment and take advantage of it to the best of your ability. If you have a scene that's set at a mansion, but you have a shack, then it's in your best interest to figure out a way to do a rewrite if you can. You know, that's a hard thing to wrap your head around, but my background, one of the first things I did in the industry was I worked for an agent, and I would help his clients make trailers for essentially things that they were trying to finance. So I would always start with, okay, what can we shoot? What do we own? And I boiled things down to like, the things that we had at our disposal, and it forced me into a way of thinking where I was, what is this concept? What does it promise? What is the poster for this concept? How can we start to paint with a very broad brush and create these kind of tentpole images that were ultimately will sell the project, but we weren't getting bogged down with perfection. We weren't getting bogged down with too many details. It was about finding materials that we could use to create the essence of something. And being able to not be so precious, I think, is a really valuable lesson for any creative.
You know what? If you could just underline that 6 or 7 times, that would be great. Not to be so precious. Because when you get too precious, the idea ultimately becomes greater than the project itself. And I think that in and of itself kills creativity.